And Sandy Smith, he's actually head of our investment committee, and because of his profession, he was able to, because I had mentioned our endowment had increased, so we wanted to make sure that the way we were managing our funds was really the best way that we could. And so he was able to set up meetings with a variety of investment firms that we could interview and then make sure that we were doing, you know, the right thing for the library. So, again, it's the combination of people, as you can see. This one other thing, actually, that related to special collections that I'd love to mention, if I could.
Before we go on, are there people on those committees who aren't on the corporation board then?
That's a really good question. We, for the most part, the people on the committees are a combination of trustees, but different combinations of people. That being said, as we're entering into a campaign, we're going to be bringing on more and more people in a variety of ways. And so I think at this point, when I think of like our development committee, Marcy Eckel, who is our director of development.
Spelled?
E-C-K-E-L. The Library Corporation has three staff members. one is Marcy, and she's the development director. And then the assistant to her is Laurie Toussignant, T-O-U-S-I-G-N-A-N-T. And then our bookkeeper, Melissa Anthony. So,
and Laurie, how does she spell her name?
Her first name, Laurie.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the development committee consists of Marcy, but then the other people are some of the trustees. And the building committee, it's primarily Jeff Adams, as I mentioned, but he works very closely with Carrie, the Cronin, the director, and Al Rodriguez, who's the main custodian at the library. So we do bring other people on, but it's just kind of depending on what the job is. We just bring in the people that we need.
What a hefty mix of operations!
It seems to work. So that's good. That's good. But, you know, as when I mentioned the responsibilities of the corporation, I did mention the special collections. And it's interesting because up until a few years ago, we never had a special collections committee, which we realized was a problem because it's one of our most important assets. And so it's something that we create. We wrote a charge and we created one a few years ago. And it has really made a tremendous difference in, first of all, the trustees understanding more how special this collection is, what it means to scholars, researchers, to the public. Also, it made us understand ways in which we can support it. And I think it was really a very important thing that we did that to get a better understanding of what it was all about. I guess in the past, it wasn't that the trustees didn't care about it, but they just figured that Leslie Wilson, the curator, you know, she does her job, and she needs to, if she wants to let the trustees know about something, she does. But for her, it's been so much better now that she has this direct support from the trustees, because we meet monthly. There are many issues that come up, for an example is she has projects that need to be done, and the idea of the projects is to take a collection. For example, the First Parish Church gave. And the First Parish Church is very much connected to the history of this town, and so they gave their archival materials to our special collections. but it was just boxes and boxes and boxes. And so what good does that do anybody? and to have the resources, I mean, Leslie has a staff, but they, you know, they have a lot of things to do. They don't have the, I mean, it would take them years to go through all of that. So when she brought that to our attention, we were able to hire an archivist, and because of the way that the town pays for staff, we gave a gift to the town to be used for this purpose. And that project, among other projects, they were able to hire somebody to complete it, and now it's done. And it was a big project, but it got done. And of course, there are always projects that need to be done. And what that means is then our collections become much more useful and accessible, you know, as I said, to scholars, to researchers, and, you know, even to the general public, because anybody, you know, can come in and access the collections. You know, I think that's really important, because it feels like, you know, what good are they if people, you know, don't either know about them or can't use them, and so we're doing more and more with that, which is exciting. And but another really very exciting special collections project took place this past year. It was a collaboration with the Concord Museum. And what it had to do with the illustrator N.C. Wyeth. And N.C. Wyeth is known, he was illustrating in the early 1900s. He's known mostly for illustrating classics like Treasure Island and The Last of the Mohicans. And so when people see those old classics, often it's his illustrations that people grew up with and know very well. He was considered and still is considered one of the best American illustrators. And it was during what they call the golden age of illustration in this country. So N.C. Wyeth was obsessed with Thoreau. So, and he was actually born, Wyeth was born in Needham, although he lived much of his life in Chadsford, Pennsylvania. But he visited Concord many times, and he was really inspired by Thoreau. Now, at that time, the writings of Thoreau weren't as well known as they are now. So you would say, well, a lot of people are inspired by Thoreau. But he had discovered some of these writings in some of these journals, but not when it was like so widespread as it is now. And he really felt that Thoreau influenced his work quite a bit. So obviously this Concord connection. The library happens to own five Wyeth paintings. Well, actually, they own three, and two are on a loan, long-term loan, from a book that Wyeth did called Men of Concord. And really what the book is about is Wyeth's appreciation for Henry David Thoreau. That's really what the book, that's why he wrote the book. And not only that, he had wanted to do this book for many years, but because he had to make a living, his publisher kept coming to him with other projects and saying, we need you to do this book, we need you to do this classic. So this project that he was kind of obsessed with just kept getting put on the back burner. He also had several children. Most people know his son Andrew Wyeth, who became obviously a very successful artist, and then his grandchild Jamie Wyeth is actually today also an artist. And again, having to make a living, he was also doing ads, and I'll talk a little bit more about those ads in a minute. Coca-Cola ads, cigarette ads, you know, that kind of thing, commercial work. But he was really conflicted about that, because you can see he was influenced by the teachings of Thoreau and, the importance of nature and, you know, just much higher kinds of ideas and philosophies and thoughts. And so the whole commercialism of, you know, sort of being an illustrator was something that kind of bothered him throughout, you know, his life. So the Concord Museum approached us because they had a thought of trying to gather the 12 paintings from the book Men of Concord and bringing them to Concord for an exhibition. And as I said, the library has 5 of those paintings. So unless we were willing to participate, you know, it probably wasn't going to happen. And those paintings usually hang in the Thoreau room upstairs. So we agreed to do it. But what was kind of fun is the museum said, you know, we want to bring the 12 paintings together so that they can hang for the first time in Concord. And so Leslie said, well, it's actually the second time, because when the book first came out, all 12 of the paintings hung in the gallery at the library. And so they actually have quite a special relationship with the library. And what happened was the library, as I mentioned, the original building was built in 1873. It was a Victorian building. But in 1930, the corporation did a major renovation to turn it into the building that it looks, that Greek Revival style that it looks today. When you look at the building, it basically looks like that, the 1930 renovation. And so at that time, as part of that renovation, they created a gallery, which is still the gallery that we have today. And I believe it was a Concord resident arranged with Wyeth to have all 12 paintings displayed. And it was probably one of the first exhibitions that we had in that gallery. And Wyeth referred to it as that corking little gallery. We love that phrase. We're not sure what he means. That corking little gallery, which he liked very much. So that's sort of what started the relationship of the paintings with the library. But then... One of the residents of Concord, her name was Ruth Wheeler. Her son, unfortunately, died in World War II. And in his memory, she contacted N.C. Wyeth. She had seen the paintings at the library when they hung here on exhibition, and said that she'd like to purchase one for the library in his memory. So we have there was correspondence between them, and they, you know, picking out which one he was recommending, which one, and they had a nice discussion about it. They made a decision about it. Unfortunately, Wyeth died before the transaction took place. So Ruth ended up writing to Wyeth's son Andrew, and mentioned the discussions that they had, what they had planned to do, and Andrew honored fortunately he said, first of all, they were able to relate to each other in certain ways, because Mrs. Wheeler had lost a son, he had just lost his father, you know, there were things that they and in the letters they kind of connect, you know, with some of that as well. So Mrs. Wheeler was able to purchase that painting, which she then donated to the library. And then after that, somebody else in memory of a family member purchased 2 other of those paintings. And then a number of years later, a family loaned 2 of the paintings to us, and had they been on loan for a number of years, we hope they'll be on loan for many more years to come. So that's how we have acquired the 5 paintings. But also what we love is that special connection to the library from the very beginning. So this collaboration with the museum is also historic, because we've worked with the museum before in some smaller ways, like maybe we've borrowed something from them. More often, they've borrowed something from us to supplement exhibitions. But this was what we consider a full partnership, meaning that and it was very important to us, if we were going to lend these paintings, that this be a full partnership, not just kind of like, hey, we're going to lend you the paintings, and that's the partnership, that's the relationship. But instead, we decided to create concurrent exhibitions that would be publicized together, come up with programming that would coordinate together. And we really feel that this is a wonderful precedent for working together, not only with the museum, but with other institutions in town. And because it's been going so well, in fact, the exhibition's just recently opened, because it's been going so well, we really believe that this will become a model for how to do this kind of collaboration. And I've mentioned Mario Favorito a few times. He's the vice president of the board, but he's the one with the legal experience. He actually drew up the agreement. And what was important is up front, people said, well, you know, what was important to them. The library said, these things are important to us. The museum said, these are important to us. And then we came to an agreement. Had we not done that, it could have broken down in so many places along the way. So that was like such a smart thing to do. And the museum has actually mentioned that they've been able to use that model with some other collaborations that they're doing. So that's wonderful to know. So the exhibitions have opened. And with the museum's exhibition is they were able to collect all 12 paintings, which is pretty amazing since some of them are in private collections and they're just, you know, they're scattered about. And so that's been a wonderful thing. Plus they have some of the sketches from the book. Actually, Andrew Wyeth did some of the sketches, even though he wasn't credited. You know, he was his young son at the time, but he was very talented and he did some of the drawings in the book, and they actually have some of the drawings. And of course, people at the time wouldn't have known that he would have become, you know, such a renowned artist himself. But our exhibition really tells the story of the making of the book. And because there is quite a story there, you know, with the fact that he was so obsessed with Thoreau and had been wanting to do it for so many years, but wasn't able to actually, and the book that he turned out, that he ended up creating, wasn't what he originally had in mind, but over those many years, and I forget how many, but it was quite a few, it turned into a different project, a different book. But finally, he was able to realize this dream, and so I mentioned those ads. Part of what was getting in the way of him doing this was, you know, having to make a living, and so he was doing these ads. And one of them is a Lucky Strike ad, and so we have that in our exhibition. If you have a chance, you might want to go upstairs and see it. But what's priceless is there's a quote from Emerson in the ad. You know how there's a quote from Emerson almost everywhere? But the last place you would expect probably to see a quote from Emerson is in a cigarette ad. So we really got a kick out of that, I must admit. But anyway, it's just been a wonderful collaboration, and it's something, you know, that we were proud of, and so I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah. Congratulations, and thank you so much for your work and for spending this time with us.
It really was my pleasure. You know, I know that Leslie, you know, said, well, it takes approximately 2 hours. And I said, there's no way I'll be able to talk for 2 hours. And I think I've talked for almost 2 hours. So hopefully it's been worthwhile and interesting. But I've enjoyed it.
Oh, yes. Thanks.